Hello and welcome to Catholic Answers Live. I am Cy Killett, your host. We've got a bit of a pastoral show for you today. I think it's going to be very, very good. I know that many people will find it helpful. Our first guest is always helpful to people. It's our first time with our second hour guest. That'll be Dr. Kevin Majors. From Harvard Medical School, psychiatrist, who will talk to us about anxiety, and he'll do so from the psychiatric perspective and the Catholic perspective, joining those and both helpful to those who suffer with anxiety. So hang on for that, the second hour. First hour, our good friend Scott Wieman is back with us. Scott is the founder of Catholic in Recovery, growing all over and doing all sorts of great things. And we're going to talk about addiction and recovery. So if you have questions about addiction and recovery, maybe an issue in the family, your own issue with a friend, or anything else that you'd like to ask about addiction and recovery, you're welcome to call 888-318-7884, 888-318-7884, Catholic in Recovery. I'll tell you what, I'll let Scott tell you about it, because what will happen, inevitably, he will have to correct something that I say about it. So first of all, Scott Wieman, welcome back.
Yeah, thank you. It's really great to be here. I appreciate the opportunity to talk about addiction recovery, our faith, and all the topics that surround it.
Again, 888-31-TRUTH is the number. So you're going to have to start us off with the blurb on Catholic in Recovery, because I know that even though we've been doing this for years together, and also I've heard you on other programs, I've seen you in all kinds of places, there are people who still don't know of this growing movement of Catholic in Recovery.
Yeah. So I like to describe us as a community of men and women around the world who are seeking freedom from a variety of addictions, compulsions, and unhealthy attachments by blending the wisdom of 12-step addiction recovery with the sacramental life and traditions of the Catholic Church. We serve individuals and families impacted by addiction and a variety of addictions, alcoholism, drug addiction, compulsive overeating, restricted eating, gambling addiction, lust-related addictions, codependency, technology addiction, nicotine, you name it. There is a place for you in Catholic in Recovery.
And you can find it at catholicinrecovery.com. Com. Okay.
Yep.
I'm so scared to say it because I always get it wrong. CatholicInRecovery.com. And you also, I mean, you have the Catholic in Recovery workbook, but you have your own book that you wrote, and it's about recovery and the sacraments. So maybe I'll just start there, and I will invite people to call, because I'll tell you what happens. Sometimes when Scott's on, people are not sure what to call about or whether it's okay to call, and then everybody calls. So don't let that happen. If there's an issue in the family, if you're dealing with a personal issue, if you'd like to ask a question about integrating your faith into your recovery work, whatever the question is, Scott's happy to take it, 888-318-7884. But why don't you tell me a little bit about the book, Scott, while we're waiting for people to dial that number, and about this idea of the sacraments integrated into the 12-step approach.
Yeah. So my first book, The 12 Steps and the Sacraments, which was published back in 2017 by Ave Maria Press, really shares some anecdotes, my story and the stories of others who have found new life and really the miracle of recovery through the grace of God and finding definition to our higher power through the sacramental life and through the 12 steps in Jesus Christ and a Trinitarian understanding of God as we know him in our Catholic faith. And the book is outlined really to overlap the sacraments of the church. We particularly focus on the sacrament of baptism, reconciliation, Eucharist, and confirmation, although discussions of matrimony, holy orders, and anointing of the sick is not void in that discussion. And really just, you know, seeing the similarities, the parallel paths that someone who is working through the 12 steps of addiction recovery, which began in the 1930s and had great Catholic influence in its early stages, and really coming to understand how to integrate our sacramental life rather than, you know, a lot of people find struggle in, they go to 12-step recovery meetings for a variety of addictions, and they may feel like they're not really allowed to express the fullness of their faith in those groups. And, you know, 12-step recovery groups, secular and Catholic in recovery, have saved my life and continue to save my life. And it's also helpful for people to understand really how to lean into the sacraments, how to integrate our faith faith life into the wisdom and the working of the 12 steps. So, you know, beginning with baptism, whereas we find our true identity in our as a beloved child of God through our baptism, oftentimes people are hung up by some, I think, personification of addiction. When we say, like, if I say, my name is Scott, I'm an alcoholic. Well, Scott, you're not, you know, truly, that doesn't define who you are. And when I say my name is Scott, I'm an alcoholic, I'm not saying define me by the worst thing or the darkest part of my life. But what I'm expressing is, you know, I've experienced the darkness of alcoholism, and I have a God, or I've, you know, my God has freed me from those shackles. You know, baptism also gives us an indelible mark that addiction cannot stain or tarnish. And so really leaning into that aspect is really important.
888-318-7884. By the way, you don't have to be Catholic to call. If you're in need of help or information, Scott's happy to help. And we'd be happy to take your call. 888-318-7884. An important part of our Christian faith, however, and of the life of the Catholic Church is healing. Maybe this is one that we are rediscovering more and more. I don't know, but it does seem that way to me. And Scott's a part of that with the founding of and the growth of Catholic in Recovery. Do check out CatholicInRecovery.com if this is something you're interested in. The calls are coming in. There's two lines open, 888-318-7884. I just want to, before I go to the calls, a Catholic in Recovery meeting. You know, I just said, if you're not mm-hmm. Catholic, you can call. Say you're a person of faith, a Christian person, maybe who's not Catholic, but you go to 12-step programs, and I do hear this from people, and you're like, you know, there's a lot of ripping on Christianity there. There's a lot of, I don't always feel comfortable sharing. Could they come to a Catholic in Recovery meeting?
Absolutely. I'm open to all. Catholics, non-Catholics, new Catholics, old Catholics, people returning to the faith. We find a lot of people who have experienced the miracle of Jesus working in their lives through the 12 steps and through a 12-step fellowship, who want greater definition to their higher power or God of their understanding. And so as a result, many return to the church or come to the church for the first time. And they are welcome, as are anyone who's seeking or just wants to express their Christian faith or their Catholic faith. Of course, we're going to, you know, put an emphasis and a focus on the sacraments and liturgy and things of that nature. But I think it's a great place both to evangelize and to share the beauty of our faith through a very practical lens and through the healing made available through Jesus Christ.
Amen to that. All right, we're going to go to the phones. If that's all right with you, Scott, you ready to take some
calls?
Let's
do it.
All right, let's start with Martin Houston, Texas, listening on the Guadalupe Radio Network. Martin, go ahead with your question for our guest, Scott Wieman.
Yeah, you're right. You're right on both counts, humid and Houston. So my wife of 22 years has been diagnosed with anxiety disorder a long time ago, actually as a teenager, and we have two daughters. The younger one is also diagnosed with anxiety disorder, and she may or may not have ADHD on top of it, so it gets pretty hairy pretty fast, and you can imagine that a teenage girl and her mom sometimes fight, but these two really resonate like microphone and speakers. It gets pretty hairy sometimes. I think that my wife is codependent with a younger daughter. I have an older daughter also. And it's really kind of playing havoc on the whole household dynamic. And I have thus far refrained from saying the word codependent with the younger daughter to my wife because I'm not sure how she's going to react to it. And every time I sort of play out what's going to happen in my mind, her anxiety disorder kicks in, or she just goes into flat denial. It just gets ugly really fast. And I'm wondering if you have any suggestions on, you know, without necessarily just placing a label on it, but actually doing something useful with that understanding. How can I approach a spouse with anxiety disorder and codependence?
All right, Martin. Thank you.
Yeah, great question, Martin. Thanks for the call. And I think it's important here just to give some definition to that term codependency, which is a term that can often bring a lot of baggage and almost a lot of, like, I don't know, it's not a word that often sits well. So I appreciate your approach thus far. Codependency I define as needing someone else's wellness in order to be well. And there's, I think, a greater depth to that as well, which we could get into. But really, you know, not being well until someone else is well. And so we go to great lengths, often at our own, the cost of our own wellness and in turn, spiritual life or trust in God. And so, yeah, it's an interesting, you know, interesting to... I think that you're probably avoiding your own probably codependent behaviors in needing your wife to be well. I mean, don't get me wrong as well. We should be concerned about the wellness of our loved ones. And, you know, it's not that we are to sit idle and just allow you figure it. You figure this out. That's not what I'm saying by any degree. But, you know, an approach could be just to ask, you know, what are the costs of this? Like, how are you doing? And, you know, oftentimes codependency is a trait that develops within families that are dealing with mental distress, anxiety, depression, great fears, other personality disorders, but also with addictions, compulsions, and unhealthy attachments. And so I think that to tread lightly, but to tread in a very loving and concerning way, but not to express so much of your concern, not to share that, you know, you need her wellness in order for you to be well, but just to provide some love and support, and perhaps an objective listener. I would probably seek to, as the St. Francis prayer tells us, or as we express in the St. Francis prayer, seek to understand rather than to be understood. And so you might lead with some questions or lead with some questions that just to get to know, like, how does this affect her? What does she do in response to some of these? And I imagine that in her response and in part of that discussion, you know, she may come to the conclusion that she maybe needs some help or needs to create some very healthy boundaries in the relationship. You know, it can be especially challenging with a parent and a child where the child is struggling. You know, we as parents want to do everything that we can for our children. But sometimes the realization that we can't do everything can be challenging to accept. So I would probably suggest, yeah, I would certainly suggest just leading with questions, seeking to understand rather than to be understood. And perhaps, you know, I don't know, even making a suggestion of going to a meeting might even be a challenge, but, you know, just providing some options. I think oftentimes when dealing with mental health challenges or dealing with addiction, we just lose sight of what options are available. And we think that the only, you know, managing or controlling or is our only option when there are other options. We do also have a Catholic in Recovery group in the Woodlands, Texas, just north of Houston, which can be helpful as well. But, you know, certainly lead with seeking to understand rather than to be understood.
Martin, that brings us to the break. So I've got to go to the break. Thank you very much. I hope that that was helpful to you. There are two lines open. We're talking addiction and recovery with Scott Wieman, the founder of Catholic in Recovery. More right after this on Catholic Answers Live.
Hang on. Catholic Answers Live will return in a moment.
Are you a coffee drinker? If so, you can now enjoy a coffee roasted to perfection by the Carmelite Monks of Wyoming. Delicious Mystic Monk coffee is roasted and prepared by monks in a hidden cloistered monastery and is available in over 25 varieties. All Mystic Monk coffees are works of perfection and labors of love. For more information on how to purchase Mystic Monk coffee, visit mysticmonkcoffee.com. That's mysticmonkcoffee.com.
Underwriting for Catholic Answers Live is provided by Real Estate for Life. Real Estate for Life connects home buyers and sellers to real estate agents while supporting pro-life organizations. On the web at realestateforlife.org.
Hi, this is Father Mike Schmitz. Please join me for Ascension's Bible in a Year and Catechism in a Year here on EWTN Radio. We're going through the entire Bible and the Catechism in 365 days. If you've ever wanted to understand what it means to be Catholic and allow those truths to shape your life, this is for you.
Bible in a Year and Catechism in a Year with Father Mike Schmitz. Tonight at 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Pacific on EWTN Radio.
Welcome back to Catholic Answers Live. I am Cy Kellett, your host. Our guest is Scott Wieman, who I am happy to call a good friend. I hope Scott feels that way about us, but we have just think the world of Scott. It's always great when he's around, and he's just an extremely helpful person, and he's the founder of Catholic in Recovery. If you've got questions about addiction and recovery from a Catholic perspective, from a Christian perspective, you are welcome to call 888-318-7884. Anybody is welcome to pick up that phone and call. We're going to head out to Idaho for our next call. Emma is in Hayden, Idaho, watching on YouTube. Welcome back, Emma.
So much. I just wanted to share my aha moment. I'm sober for 14 and a half years.
Praise God.
And I know. Yeah, praise God all the way. My sponsor at the time, I was such a martyr. I just was such a martyr. And I'd goof up and I'd relapse. And she said, well, many are just not done. I used to get so mad at her. And then she said, what's going on? Why do you keep relapsing? And I said, well, you drink too. If this happened to you and this happened to you and this happened to you. She looked me straight in the eye and she said, Emma, get off the cross. We need the wood. And it was that simple phrase. I realized I wasn't going to get any more sympathy and I needed to pull up my big girl panties and get busy.
Scott?
Love it. Thank you, Emma, for sharing. I think that's a valuable insight that, that's the beauty of working with a sponsor as well, or a trusted individual, or someone who can provide some guidance for us, is that they're going to tell us not what we want to hear, but what we need to hear. And, that's my experience as well in working with sponsors along my recovery journey. There is also a common thread of victimhood amongst those who struggle with addiction. I shared previously, martyrdom, that can lead to this, codependency might have one of the symptoms of such might be martyrdom as well. And so we use that to justify our bad behavior. And it's, like resentment. It's like drinking poison, hoping that another person gets hurt. I was in a similar spot. I was 21 years old in a treatment center, trying to get sober, or just maybe even just trying to give the impression that I was getting sober. And I remember jotting down some notes. I was thinking, I'm going to write a book one day. And writing down all the things that had happened to me. And if that book had been published, it probably would have been titled, If You Had My Life, You'd Be an Alcoholic Too, which is such a very, similar spirit to what Emma's expressing. But, we can't find any kind of solution or healing with that type of attitude. We need to, take responsibility for our actions and just do the next right thing. So thank you, Emma, for sharing.
Thank you, Emma.
Bye.
Bye. It's always nice when Emma calls. Our guest is Scott Wieman. You are welcome to call with your questions about addiction and recovery. 888-318-7884. Going up to Nebraska now, listening on Spirit Catholic Radio, Tom in Omaha, Nebraska. Welcome, Tom. Go ahead with your question for Scott.
Thank you very much. Here's my question. When you say addictions, lustful addictions, what does that include, or what do you mean by that?
Yeah, that's a phrase that can be a catch-all for a variety of sexual types of addictions. It might include and is certainly not limited to pornography addiction, masturbation addiction, oftentimes come hand in hand. Otherwise, sexual acting out, compulsion to watch erotic videos or read erotic stories can be even further to the extreme of seeking prostitution or paying for sex. And, when that behavior becomes compulsive certainly that behavior is certainly not, excusable in any form. But when it can't be stopped on our own, that's when we would label it as addictive or compulsive at the very least. And, whether one identifies as being addicted or compulsive or having an unhealthy attachment, it doesn't matter to me as long as you're willing to set that behavior aside and seek the help of God.
Tom, thank you. Thank you very much. Yeah. Did you want to say something?
I was just wondering what Tom's definition of lust addiction might be, but if he's still on.
Yeah, Tom.
Well, what I was getting at, I should have been more specific. When it comes to homosexuals, what do you have to say about that?
Well, I think that there are a lot of behaviors that, I think having a same-sex attraction, I would not consider, essentially all the time an addictive behavior, but there are some behaviors that might surround one's same-sex attraction that they find really challenged by. We have people who reach out to us who are impacted by same-sex attraction and may even be in a heterosexual marriage or relationship and unsure of what to do, and sometimes the compulsive thinking around that can be create a spiritual void and certainly emotional turmoil within an individual and a family.
Tom, thank you. The number here is 888-318-7884. We're talking with Scott Wieman, founder of Catholic in Recovery, about addiction and recovery. If you have questions, 888-318-7884. I'm going to ask a question that I know that lots of people have, and somebody's probably going to call and ask it, so I might as well just get it out of the way. Can I start a Catholic in recovery group at my parish or in my town, and how do I do that?
Absolutely, yes. We are starting new Catholic in recovery groups all the time around the United States, into Canada, Mexico. In fact, I've even had a discussion with a team earlier today in Europe who is looking to get some resources made available first in a virtual setting, early morning Europe time, for those who are wanting to get their day started with some a Catholic in recovery reflection and meeting. So to start a meeting, whether it's in a parish or at outside of the parish setting or even with diocesan support, you can go to our website, catholicinrecovery.com, and then one of the header options, one of the menu options is support and serve, click the link for start a meeting and fill out the form, which just requests a little bit of information about you, and we'll follow up with you to walk through the process of learning more about Catholic in Recovery, seeing if it's a good fit, bringing that to your pastor. Oftentimes, pastors know the pastoral needs of individuals and families impacted by addiction and are often very supportive of getting new groups started. But it's as simple as that. Having some recovery experience yourself is essential. We can't give away what we don't have. We have all the tools and resources to help get you started, whether physical resources, getting the word out in the community, and having that discussion with your pastor as well.
Rita is in Columbus, Ohio, listening on St. Gabriel Radio. Glad you're here. Rita, go ahead with your question for Scott.
Thank you. I'm familiar with 12-step, and I'm also familiar with your books. I bought them just to have them on my own. I'm 67 and actually have had a very unhealthy attachment to the idea of weight and food, very unhealthy. I know it's a spiritual battle. My question is this. My parish here in Newark is a large one, and we actually have a group going on. I'm hesitant to go. I know that often, people are supposed to remain anonymous. Also, while I very much believe and have read a lot about the scientific things of food addiction that they're realizing, a lot of people still don't believe it is. And so I'm trying to understand, how all the addictions work together in a group, if that question makes sense.
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you for the call, Rita. And we've got, great, as you maybe mentioned, around Columbus, Ohio, a great, great Catholic in recovery community with meetings throughout the week. Virtual meetings are available for a local group, and also, you might also get your experience with Catholic in recovery started by joining a virtual Catholic in recovery meeting, which happened throughout all day and throughout the day, throughout the week. Addiction, as we understand it, manifests in a variety of different ways. What I mentioned at the start of the show, impacting through alcoholism, drug addiction, food-related addictions, lust, gambling, workaholism, etc. Those I see as just different symptoms of the same spiritual malady. There are certainly unique nuances to each of the addictions and some things that need to be understood, particularly as they relate to food addiction. And one of our resources, CIR Plus, provides a platform of resources and videos, and will walk you through your first 90 days of recovery. We even have a course on that platform that specifically speaks to some of the nuanced differences related to those who are seeking recovery from food-related addictions, whereas the help of a dietitian or nutritionist might be helpful. And there are a variety of other secular 12-step groups related to food-related addictions. So Yeah, I would suggest perhaps getting started in a virtual meeting. Some of those virtual meetings are general recovery meetings, as are most of the meetings that are in person, bringing together people with a variety of addictions. I kind of identify myself as an all of the above type of an addict. It can be really simple to just put away, well, not simple at all, but, you know, oftentimes we see someone, you know, step away from one addiction and replace it with another that is still as spiritually deadly as the first. And that's not really a solution at all, but a holistic solution can be sought by getting the experience of people with a variety of addictions. We do have some virtual meetings specifically related to compulsive eating behaviors, a couple of days per week. And so you might, you know, explore that. But, you know, the anonymity can be found in virtual meetings, certainly. And there is a great emphasis put on privacy and anonymity and in our in-person meetings as well. You can be certain that, you know, no one's going to be speaking to the public that you were out and that you were a part of the meeting at all.
Rita, thank you. More calls to come with Scott Wieman on addiction and recovery. We hope that one of the things that we communicate here at Catholic Answers Live is that our Catholic faith allows us to be fully serious about all the problems we encounter in the church and in the world, but it also lets us have light hearts and maybe even mix in a bit of fun. And that is exactly what our good friend Joe Heschmeyer does in his popular podcast, Shameless Popery. You should check it out at shamelessjoe.com. Joe's got a deep grasp of the faith, of morals, the teachings of the church, all that. But he's also got a witty conversational style. He entertains and he informs. But you will leave equipped to better answer the most common challenges, misconceptions, and questions about the Catholic faith. He's got insightful guests. He does on-air debates. And he takes a close look into all the things that you want to know about as a Catholic living today. You'll walk away knowledgeable and filled with joy. Look for Joe on his YouTube channel. Check him out at shamelessjoe.com or wherever you get your podcasts. And if you like what you hear, become a patron.
Our Lord needs articulate defenders of the truth to spread the joy of the Catholic faith. Catholic Answers Monthly Giving Club, Society 315, helps you fulfill the call in 1 Peter 3:15 to always be prepared to make a defense for the hope that is in you. For as little as $10 a month, you'll help Catholics grow in faith, bring lapsed Catholics home, and lead non-Catholics to the truth. Go to casociety315.com and join today.
From its earliest days, Catholic faith has been lived by a yearly cycle of feasts and seasons. The new book from Mike Aquilina and Adam Lucas, Feasts of Our Fathers, is a one-stop companion for praying and meditating through the holy days and seasons of the church with help from the most ancient Christian people. Don't just read about the early saints, pray with them. Order your copy of Feasts of Our Fathers now at shop.catholic.com or ask for it at a good Catholic bookstore.
Matt Swaim here. Tomorrow on the Sunrise Morning Show, we'll celebrate the Feast of St. James the Greater and get you all the latest news, weather, sports, and a whole lot more. Now back to Catholic Answers Live.
Welcome back to Catholic Answers Live. I'm Cy Kellett, your host. Really wonderful pastoral programs today, two of them. Second hour, Dr. Kevin Majors will be here. He's been growing more popular on the internet, a Catholic, graduate of the University of Dallas, a psychiatrist who's doing wonderful work helping people overcome anxiety. There's a faith component to it. There's a medical component to it, and we'd like to ask him about it. And if you'd like to ask him about it, hang on for the second hour, and you can do that. This hour, Scott Wieman is here, the founder of Catholic in Recovery. How many Catholic in Recovery groups do you have now around?
We have about 120 active Catholic in Recovery groups around North America.
Man, so and growing. And Catholic in Recovery is just what it sounds like. It's talking in a way that is consistent with the Catholic faith and that draws on the sacraments, on the teaching of Jesus, on the life of the church to help in the healing process of people working through their recovery and addiction issues. If you've got those or if you'd like to talk about them, 888-318-7884. I'll tell you what, we'll go to Tim in Dallas, Texas, listening on the Guadalupe Radio Network next. Tim, thank you for waiting. Go ahead with your question.
Hi. Yes, I was wanting to find out about an organization to go to for workaholism.
Yeah, would you tell us, Tim, maybe a little bit more about your experience with workaholism and what how that's impacting your life before we dive into the the specifics of finding help?
I've been working pretty much like two doubles a day for years, shifts, and it's taken a toll on my body. And I'd like to reverse, if possible, any damage already done. And so that's what I'm seeking to find out about. I've been active in other groups, but this is the first time that it's been workaholism. So yes, that's what I was wanting to pursue.
Yeah, praise God. Thank you. And I ask not to put you on the spot, but just because I imagine that there are others who are listening who can relate to the experience. And you know, I mentioned before that oftentimes we can just we might find freedom from one addiction, but find an attachment to another thing. And work can be one of those escapes that allows us to perhaps avoid the deep roots of our addiction, compulsion, or unhealthy attachment. But oftentimes addiction, whether it's with us to a substance or a behavior, is an escape from the realities of life. And so certainly, you can find help and healing within Catholic and recovery. We have in our general recovery groups plenty of people who attend who, identify themselves as being someone who's impacted by workaholism or a workaholic, if you will. And a lot of the behaviors are similar. I mentioned the escape method, the means of escaping, and some escape through lust, some escape through pornography, some escape through food, some through alcohol and drugs, others just through work. And as you're noting, that can take a great toll on ourselves, not only physically, but mentally, emotionally, and spiritually. And it can be harder than it sounds just to step away from that, because, everything in our body and our minds is telling us that this is what we need in order for us to be well. So I would encourage you to, check out a Catholic in recovery group to find healing, a general recovery meeting. In fact, we'll be starting one in the Dallas-Fort Worth area within the next few months. Stay tuned for more information about that. You can, get information on our website, catholicinrecovery.com. But I believe there's also a secular 12-step group that relates to workaholics, Workaholics Anonymous. You might find some healing there. May not be a place where you can express the fullness of your faith, but you'll certainly meet Jesus and his beloved children, or God's beloved children in those meetings. And I wish you the best and appreciate that you understand the urgency of seeking help.
Tim, thank you. We're talking about addiction and recovery. Scott Wieman is our guest. We're going now to Baton Rouge, Louisiana, where Robert is listening on AM 1380. Robert, welcome. Go ahead with your question for Scott.
Hello. Thank you. I just want to comment that, first of all, the book is great. I've been reading it. We started a core group. The process of getting a Catholics in recovery group going in our parish. We have a core group that meets once a month, once a week. But my question was, is Scott planning on doing any kind of follow-up book or material that could actually be used at the meetings in the form of a book?
Yeah, well, thank you. Thank you for the endorsement. I'm grateful that the book has been helpful and healing in your journey, and also something that you've brought and shared with others. Anything that can unite us to share experience, strength, and hope. To give people the understanding that they're not alone in their challenges with a variety of addictions. This one person in our community says the healing is in the telling. And I think that's one of the beautiful things about, Catholic in recovery meetings and groups. And certainly we have resources. Our, Catholic in Recovery meeting is not simply just, pulling out the 12 steps and the sacraments, but we have, reflections. Actually, you can get access to daily reflections, reflections that relate to every single day's Mass readings on CatholicInRecovery.com, and reflections from Catholic in Recovery community members as the Mass readings relate to their experience with a variety of addictions. We are in the works, and actually just submitted a manuscript for Recovery Rosary, meditations for individuals and families impacted by addictions, compulsions, and unhealthy attachments, which is set to be published by Ave Maria Press in the spring. And we have 20 Catholic and recovery community members who have contributed their own personal testimonies and meditations on each mystery of the Rosary, a guide, a prayer guide, or perhaps something that can intellectually aid one's experience with praying the Rosary. So look for that in the spring of 2025. But yeah, I think anything that really brings us an opportunity to reflect, be centered on Jesus Christ, the sacramental life of the Church, and give us a space to share experience, strength, and hope is valuable. So I appreciate that, Rob, and looking forward to the development of more Catholic and recovery resources and fellowship in the Baton Rouge area.
Yeah, absolutely. I've been sober 29 years, part of that area a long time, but this adds a whole new element to my sobriety, and it's pretty awesome for what we're doing so far. So I just wanted to give you a shout out. Great job on the book. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you, Rob. I heard from one person earlier today who participates in virtual Catholic and recovery meetings, and she said that CIR is saving her recovery. And she's been sober in the rooms of various recovery meetings for some time. But, there can be sometimes a tension if we, between our faith or the, principles of those 12-step groups, but just the expression of people who are impacted by a secular culture and perhaps their unwillingness to accept or be open to ideas of Catholic expressions of faith. And she mentioned that being in CIR has allowed her to be a Catholic in recovery, whereas sometimes that might be hard. Not an issue of the groups as a whole or the organizations as a whole, but the individuals who attend who might have some anti-Catholic sentiment that they're expressing.
Robert, thank you again for that call. Scott Wieman's our guest. We're talking about addiction and recovery. If you have questions, 888-318-7884. We're going to the town of T, South Dakota. Veronica, listening on Real Presence Radio. Veronica, welcome.
Thank you. I was thrilled to hear Catholics in Recovery. I've never heard of that.
That's why we do these.
And I've always wanted to start something because I think there's a need in like what you were saying, and I don't know about the book either. I'd love to have it. And the rosary thing is just fantastic. I am a very devout Catholic, and I love my faith. And it took me a long time to get that way because of growing up with alcoholism all around me. Married it, same thing. But and then image of being thin because I'm from Houston, but we moved to Southern California when I was 10, and I had to go to Catholic school in Beverly Hills, if that gives you any kind of a hint. And it was all about how you look, what you throw, that was really a shock. And then to have the alcoholism in the family, I just grew up around it all my life. But it's not just about alcoholism either. So I'm so interested in that. I think it's fantastic what you're doing. I think everyone would benefit from that. I don't know that, like the anonymity, that would be the part that would bother me.
Why, you want to go tell everybody? You want to go share everybody's name? Or that you want your name kept secret? Is that what you're saying?
No, I've heard gossip. I don't gossip.
Oh, I see what you're saying. I gotcha. Scott, what's your response to Veronica?
Yeah, I totally agree with that sentiment that anyone, whether identifying as, having an addiction, compulsion, or unhealthy attachment or not, can benefit through working the 12 steps. It's a great platform or just pathway to surrender and fully trust in our Lord and to look at some of those root issues, resentments, fears, anxieties, as you'll discuss in the next hour, that rule our lives and that when not addressed, you know, setting aside the alcohol, the drugs, the food, the lust, the gambling is one thing, but that's just a symptom of this deeper spiritual issue that we all share. You know, for some of us, it's expressed in a more tragic way, but we could all really use a means to surrender and trust in our Lord and, you know, take personal responsibilities. The sacramental life of the church certainly also provides an outlet and a means to do that in a real, tangible way. But yeah, the 12 steps, it could be beneficial for everyone. As it says in some recovery literature, you know, it does take a level of honesty that unless your back's to the wall or your life is on the line, you may not be willing to complete. And so, you know, it's a simple program, but certainly not easy. But rigorous honesty and, you know, love of neighbor and seeking, you know, justice, all beautiful outcomes of working through the 12 steps, in addition to, you know, dealing with fears, anxieties, doubts, depression, things of that nature. And certainly she also touched on, you know, the family impact of addiction, that when we grow up in an alcoholic home or a home that's fueled or riddled by addiction, a variety of types, it creates patterns within us that does not just go away when we become adults, but rather manifests oftentimes even further in some subtle ways that can be hard to identify. And so whether a family member impacted by a loved one's addiction or dealing with your own addiction, I strongly encourage the 12 steps, getting educated, and Catholic in Recovery provides an outlet to do that in a way that's fully integrating our faith in the sacraments.
Veronica, I'm so delighted with your call, because part of why, I mean, why we have Scott on is just his work is wonderful, but this is something more people should know about, and priests should know about it. Certainly pastors and bishops should know about it so that they know that there's something that they can invite in and offer to their parishioners. But Jesus is a healer, and he loves everybody. He wants us all healed, and so we are delighted to be able to promote this healing ministry. CatholicInRecovery.com is where anyone can go and find out more. CatholicInRecovery.com. I'm not a prophet, but I said this was going to happen. All the calls just pouring in now at the end of the show, so we'll get to as many of them as we can with Scott Wieman, our guest, right after this on Catholic Answers Live.
Hang on. We'll be right back with more Catholic Answers Live.
The Catechism defines evangelization as the proclamation of Christ and his gospel by word and the testimony of life. But what does that look like in real life? It looks like St. Paul street evangelists out in the public square sharing the good news. We're a Catholic nonprofit that starts conversations by handing out free sacramentals. Then we employ our method of listen, befriend, proclaim, and invite. Catholic Answers is supported in part by St. Paul Street Evangelization. Visit streetevangelization.com to learn more.
This is Father Timothy Vaverick. We need to go to confession because we're sinners. Confession is the sacrament of penance. Whenever we sin, we ought immediately acknowledge that sin and ask pardon of the Lord. But we should also form the intention, especially if we've committed mortal sin, to come to the Lord in the sacrament to receive his grace, because we're always in need of growing deeper in his love.
Welcome back to Catholic Answers Live. Just delighted whenever Scott Wieman is here, and you're welcome to call if you have questions about addiction and recovery, 888-318-7884. Before I go back to the phones, I do want to ask you for your help. If Catholic Answers Live has been helpful to you or a family member or the students in your class or whatever, and you'd be willing to share a testimonial with us, we would appreciate it. You can do it audio or video at CatholicAnswersLive.com. Just click the red testimonial button. It means a lot to us to be able to share these with others. Just go to CatholicAnswersLive.com, click the red testimonial button, and we'd be grateful for your help. Maria is in New Orleans, Louisiana, listening to EWTN on Channel 130 Sirius XM Satellite Radio. Maria, welcome. Go ahead with your question for Scott Wieman.
Thank you. Can you hear me?
Very well.
Can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay, great. Number one, thank you both for doing this. I mean, it sounds great, Catholics in Recovery. I mean, it's like a no-brainer. Why didn't anybody think of this 50, 75 years ago? We want to... And also, I'm glad I tuned in. It's Divine Providence. I wish I would have heard about this as a devout Catholic. My father's from Sicily and raised our children Catholic. 6 years ago, I lost my sons to the disease of addiction. And as a Catholic, I mean, we did our rosaries. We did everything we needed to do. And we know, him and the father both know, that all of our prayers that, you know, our son would have never been separated through mortal sin, that, you know, God always take him home before then. And in that single car accident when he died, I realized he's in heaven. But at the end of the day, had that been here, and that would have been, this would have been the Einstein thing in his brain to remind him of what our Catholic faith really is, what society tries to take away. Imagine he's 19 years old and going through life, and now looking back, I realize it was probably a disordered sexual thing where he was dealing with, and us being Catholic, devout parents, Sicilian grandparents, everything, you're not going to share that with your parents. And I think that's what kind of went him into the direction of alcohol. And then later when he shared it with us and we all expressed, you know, we're going to work through this because, you know, this is not, you know, God's divine plan. But by that time, the alcohol had already become an addiction. Mm-hmm. And it's, wow, what great things you're doing. If I could do anything to help y'all, go to churches. So men need to know this all around. The future of this country for men, addiction and gambling and pornography is going to take them down.
Maria, let me let
beautiful gift for men.
Yes, thank you. I just want to get Scott to respond, but I'll come back to you. Scott?
Well, every time we hear a story of someone whose life has been lost to addiction, it just reminds us of the tragic and deadly nature of this spiritual disease. And I'm really sorry, Maria, to hear of your loss. And, you know, I hope that you and your family are finding ways to hope, to cope and find hope in our Lord through, you know, even if it's years ago. You know, certainly that's going to leave a mark on our lives and on us until the day that we pass. And so I'm so sorry to hear that. And I recently lost a friend in San Diego just a few days ago. I got a text message on Monday that that this gentleman passed away to alcoholism, someone who I spoke to over the phone just 2 days prior. And, you know, so this is not something to be joking, I mean, you know, playing around with. Like, this is our life or death. And, you know, just want to share the expression of love. You can still find support. You know, we have people who are participate and help facilitate family and friends, Catholic and recovery meetings, who have been in a similar place, who have lost the life of loved ones, children, to alcoholism, drug addiction, and other addictions. And, you know, that we still need to find a way to properly grieve and heal from that loss. And, you know, 12-step recovery, Catholic in recovery, can be a place where you can find some hope and healing around that. In fact, one of the writers, contributors for our Catholic in Recovery Rosary Meditations book speaks of her experience losing her son and the tragedy of that, but also how they've, you know, found hope and, you know, sustained their own faith life through that. So, you know, support for Catholic in recovery might help save a life of someone else. And I want to encourage anyone who's, you know, feels called to do so to, you know, support our mission in any way that you possibly can.
Maria?
Amen. Thank you. Yeah. Like I said, I just, if I can do anything in my local parish, drive on my days off, anything just to spread this word, it's so important. And we know our whole family has accepted our son Dominic. It's not, he's gone. He's more alive than most of us walking around. He is more alive than us. And it's just, see you later. Well, this was a spiritual warfare, especially when I realized what caused it was that, you know, he would date the cheerleaders, you know, everybody, the blonde-haired, blue-eyed girls, and hear this, you know, tall looking, brown, handsome, tan guy was having attractions to the opposite sex. We knew it was spiritual, and he didn't get to find that out yet, but I'm sure the Lord revealed that to him in his permissive will, taking him home at the time he did. And although I missed a lot of years and all those things, I think to eternity, you know, when we're all going to be together, including you, what's happened to me, I feel like I've always been Catholic, but my son dying saved my soul, because aww, now I realize I was so cynical. I mean, I didn't even want to hear addiction stories. I was mad. I didn't want to hear someone recovered. And that was Satan again with the same spiritual, you know, warfare, not just on my family. You know, we're protected, you know, through all those rosary beads from Sicilian, you know, prayers on those rosaries.
Oh, you got but, a thousand you know, years of rosaries.
A lot of other people. You do, and it, you know what? It's a grace that never ends. It's a trillion-dollar, eternal, perpetual account that never ends.
Yeah.
And I proudly now say I'm—I mean, I was always Catholic, but I was more embarrassed, and I just kept my comments to myself. Now I share it. I had a Muslim man who told me he lost his son a few weeks ago, and I shared my story, and this man walked towards me, hugged me, and sobbed. And as he's hugging me, I'm like, And we were in an Indian, it was a store, a wholesale store, with most of the people there are Muslims, and I was shocked. And I wasn't shocked when I realized it was the Holy Spirit moving in me so this man could feel comfort and not only hug a woman who's not his wife. But, you know,
oh,
right. Said, you
that's
will
right.
see him again, sir. You will see him again through the grace of, you know, our God.
Oh,
I didn't want
Maria.
To say Jesus or Mary because I just didn't want to, you know, go there. I just wanted to put a little icing on the cake. And I said, don't worry. And I said, he's more alive. Look outside. Look at us. I said, don't you see? That's why the evil entity was after us. I said, we're like animals, you know, animals, but we have reason. We can choose. We can decide, and yet we don't. As long as we have someone who wants to, you know, kill a live animal and a pedophile who wants to have, you know, sex with a child. But to be honest, the father of my son used to tell him, you know, Dominic, it doesn't make the difference to sin, because he used to say, Dad, why
Maria,
our homosexual
Maria, I'm sorry that I have to interrupt you, but you are on fire, but I have to let Scott talk to as many people as I can.
Thank you, Maria. God bless you.
Thank you so much for the call and for sharing about your son, Dominic. Thank you very much for being willing to do that. Elizabeth's in Texas. Elizabeth, thank you for waiting. Go ahead with your question for Scott Wieman.
Yes. Hello. Can you hear me?
Very well, yeah.
Yes, hi. I just wanted to say thank you for taking my call, and I want to also thank the 12-step programs. There's a lot of programs. I found Emotions Anonymous. I found Eating Anonymous. There's a lot of 12-step programs. There's not just Alcoholic Anonymous. There's a lot of programs, and Emotions Anonymous is one that I'm in, as well as Al-Anon, which is helping families of alcoholics. So the 12 steps, I also found the Bible verses for each of the 12 steps. There's also the 12 concepts and 12 traditions. So Al-Anon has the Pathway to Recovery workbook, where you go through the 12 steps, and you go through the 12 traditions and 12 concepts. You answer questions. And then there's the Plan to Progress, which goes through a lot of emotions, like communication, financial resources.
Elizabeth, I feel like you're on fire yourself, but in your case, to share all these resources. But I'm getting nervous that we're getting near the end. Did you want to respond to what Elizabeth said, Scott Wieman?
Yeah, I think she's just making a point that addiction can manifest in a variety of ways, and by the grace of God, so can 12-step recovery can help with a variety of issues as well. You know, there is an anonymous group for nearly every condition that we might share as humans, and whether it's a battle with emotions or the family impact of addiction or workaholism or technology addiction, codependency, alcohol, drugs, food, lust, there's a solution. And I would strongly encourage also perhaps adding the Catholic and Recovery workbook to that, which is not set to change the 12 steps, but to find a way to integrate the beauty and the truth of our Catholic faith into that process, and you know, find how our faith and our recovery can be coexisting. And praise God, and thank you for sharing the beauty that you've experienced, Elizabeth.
Elizabeth, thank you. You can get the Catholic in Recovery workbook at CatholicInRecovery.com. As a matter of fact, you can find out all about Catholic in Recovery. You can, Elizabeth, and anyone can at CatholicInRecovery.com. I've met people who are like, I taught in the public schools for 20 years, and then I taught in a Catholic school, and the thing I love is I get to talk about God there. I get to talk about Jesus and the sacraments. Is that kind of your experience with Catholic in Recovery, as far as related to recovery meetings?
Yeah, especially people who have been in, you know, recovery meetings for some time and have, you know, we have to sometimes filter ourselves as we're speaking of God or our higher power or God as we understand him. And so a lot of it's not too uncommon for people to attend a Catholic in Recovery meeting for the first time. And as they're about to share, they're just almost like this, like, this sigh of relief, like, man, it's so nice to be able to share about my faith in a meeting like this.
Yeah.
Not too different from the expression that you just mentioned about teachers moving from a, you know, secular school to a Catholic school.
And one thing I've always admired about you, Scott, is you're not trying to replace whatever recovery program. So you're trying to provide this church-based or Jesus-based, sacramental-based recovery to bring that to its fulfillment. So thank you for that, Scott.
Yeah, really create a bridge between recovery and the church. All are welcome.
Oh, what a beautiful sentiment. And we always love it when Scott Wieman's here. If you'd like to find out more information, please do check out CatholicInRecovery.com. Scott's book is The 12 Steps and the Sacraments. I've always gotten that title right every time I've said it, and I did it again. And Scott Wieman, thanks. I hope we see you again soon.
Thank you. Have a great second hour.
Hey, coming up, Dr. Kevin Majors will be here, and we'll talk about anxiety. A pastoral show today on Catholic Answers Live.